Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
In the dark, I play my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, P-I-O-V, I'm the king. Planting love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 324 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and sometimes even the paranormal.
Permaculture PIMP with Sobel Grace in a VIP guest.
Oh yeah. Well folks, I'm really excited for this program tonight. Well, today. I usually broadcast tonight, but I'm doing it today because my guest, this was the best time she can get on here. Folks, you've heard me talk about her numerous times in the past, and don't worry, we're going to get into that, but I want to just do a couple of housekeeping notes right quick because I don't have a whole lot of time, and this information is so important, and folks, believe me, if anybody's listening to this program, as you know, we're the number one farm podcast on the planet. I won't be for long if I keep getting tongue twisted. You've heard me talk about this guest before and a lot of her work and the benefit it's had on myself and my family. We'll get into that in a little bit, but hey, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Also, remember that foundation, Living Soil Foundation. We are the only people in Western North Carolina actually conducting the testing that's going on right now. And folks, I'm probably going to have some really good news for you. And mainstream science is not going to be happy with it when they find out that all of these forever chemicals out there are not necessarily forever if you just bring to bear what the good Lord put on this planet, which is how we do our farm here at Permapastures Farm. Anyway, before I get into my guest, I want to remind you this weekend, Alan Booker is going to be doing a three-day intensive workshop that's it's being sponsored by Appalachian Watershed Alliance. It's going to be 3 days, and he's going to be using some of my work in this class he's going to be putting on. That's going to be from May 31st to June 2nd. I think the cost is $125, and believe me, that is a steal. If you go to Appalachian Watershed Alliance website, I think you can get some discount tickets there. But he's going to be doing that, and hopefully I'll be making a cameo out there. But look, we got a lot of baby sheep running around here, and it's all I can do to stay ahead of them right now. So, folks, okay, advertisers, you're just going to have to be upset. I'm not talking about you today because I got somebody on that I've been wanting to talk to for a long, long time. And if anybody's in the chat right now, look, we always do this live. If anybody's in the chat right now, if we can get to you, look, I love it. But if you would hit that thumbs up, I know our largest audience by far is the audio platforms. And of course, this you'll be able to listen to it there as well. But folks, let me just kind of tell you the little backstory of why I reached out to Dr. Laura Sanger. And as many of you know, I've gone through this story numerous times in the past. But for all the new people on board, I'm just going to kind of distill it down and give you the Cliff Notes version. When we announced that we were raising all of this money for combating child sex trafficking, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, folks, and I mean out of nowhere, my wife and I were being hit with electronic attacks. We were being hit with spiritual attacks. We were being hit with every kind of, gang stalking, you name it, all of it happening at the same time. And the crazy thing about it was never her and me at the same time. It was either her or me. In fact, these things would be so debilitating that the only thing that would stop it is my wife literally laying on the ground outside of our house and me praying Psalm 91 over her. And then it would persist. It was an all day thing. I'd be hit with these bouts of anxiety, and I've never been given to that. And then all of a sudden I was praying to the Lord, like, please give me some guidance on where I go with this. And one of the solutions was, believe it or not, coming across the work of my guest. And I'll get into how I've taken her work and I've kind of tied it into some other things as we get on later in the program. But with that said, don't want to waste any more time. Dr. Laura, thank you so much for being on here with me.
Oh, well, it's my joy. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a real joy to have you. You know, in my view, you're a superhero. And like all superheroes, they have an origin story. So why don't you tell us about yours?
Wow, I don't picture myself as a superhero. But so I guess by profession, I'm a psychologist, although I retired from doing clinical work back in 2013. And ever since then, I've really been trying to awaken people to the impact of this psychological warfare that has enslaved so much of humanity and really looking at the spiritual origins of that. So I'm one of these people that I just absolutely love to learn. I, you know, am always formulating these questions in my head to research. In fact, I've been involved in research probably since 1989 when I was in my undergraduate studies. I was doing research in the area of schizophrenia when I was working at the VA hospital in La Jolla, California. So been involved in research to some degree. And that led me in 2016 to begin digging into the spiritual dynamics of our defiled monetary system. And so I spent 4 years researching and writing my first book, which is called The Roots of the Federal Reserve. And, you know, the research I did in that book, it spans from the dawn of humanity to our current day. And what I do is I identify what I call the Nephilim agenda and how it's defiled our monetary system in practically every institution in our land. So I trace that from the days of Noah to our current day. And that led me into writing my second book, which is called Generation Hoodwinked. And that is really, I'm hoping that it provides a pathway out of the dark caverns of mind control for folks, because what I do is I uncover the myriad of ways that the Nephilim agenda has been strangling the lifeblood out of humanity. And so I want to expose and bring light to those deceptive narratives so that we can be a generation that declares that we're no longer enslaved. And that's where I really dive into things that we're going to talk about today, meaning the, you know, the weaponization of music. What was the origin point of music? How have frequencies been weaponized? And more importantly, how can we break free from the mind control that comes from frequencies and instead release, you know, healing frequencies, releasing the sounds of heaven?
That, well, you came to the right place. You talk Nephilim, I guarantee everybody's ears perked up out there. And people think that, you know what, that all ended back in Genesis 6. But no, I don't think it has. And I think you provide all the receipts to prove that, no, that agenda is still unfolding right now. So, you know, before we get into that, before we get into the origins of music, I'd love for you to start there. But speaking of which, I remember it wasn't long ago. I know you don't know much about me, but I'm a farmer and I'm a permaculture farmer. And that's how I basically teach folks how to farm. Now, speaking of music, I really was hit with how powerful it can be when we had gone through the first bout of what I was describing a moment ago. We were out picking blueberries. And sure enough, you know, I'm sitting here and it's my goal right now to memorize all of the Book of Psalms. I know that sounds like a hefty task, but hey, you know, I'm 10 chapters in and I'm still working on it. But as I'm out there doing this, I kid you not, guy rolls by, he's blasting his radio, and sure enough, he's playing Stairway to Heaven. And as he did it, literally at that moment, I couldn't get it out of my head. And for days and days and days, I kept waking up in the morning and for some reason, I couldn't get these weird 80s hairband songs out of my head. I mean, they were just persistent. Worse yet, they were songs I didn't even like. Of course, I knew about the songs. I couldn't stand them even back when I was a kid, but I couldn't get them out of my head. And then, of course, you know, like a complete dummy, realized maybe I should go to the Lord with this. And it still seems to be an everyday battle, but yeah, there is something in this music and it is definitely spiritually charged. So if you don't mind, Dr. Laura, why don't you take us back from the very beginning? I mean, concerning the origins of music and maybe how it's become what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always like to start by looking in scripture to see, you know, who was the first musician ever recorded? and it's Jubal. And Jubal was the eighth generation from Adam in the bloodline of Cain. What's interesting is his father, Lamech, was the first polygamist in human history. And Lamech walked in the same murderous spirit as Cain. We see this in Genesis 4. I'll read verse 23 and 24. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. So Lamech perpetuated this generational iniquity of Cain by walking, you know, in murder and pride and rebellion. And there's no indication from scripture that his bloodline was cleansed through repentance. So that means Jubal would have most likely been walking in that same generational iniquity. And in Genesis 4:21, it mentions Jubal. He says his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and the flute. Well, one of the things that I love to do is dig into scripture, look at the etymology of the words, because it gives us a greater understanding. And by looking at Jubal's name, it means stream, and it comes from the root word Yabal, the Hebrew word Yabal, and that means to conduct, to bring forth with pomp, and to lead. Well, that root word, Yabal, is also where we get the Hebrew word trumpet. And so Jubal was the inventor of musical instruments, which means that through a defiled bloodline, music enters into human history. Now, thankfully, that is not the origin point of music. We know that music existed in heaven. In fact, Lucifer's, you know, very design incorporated music. And we see this in Ezekiel 28. This is verse 12 through 14 and verse 17. It says, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Well, if we look at that word workmanship in this passage, it's the Hebrew word melaka. And it means ministry, occupation, manner of work, or officer. And so, in other words, Lucifer, you know, he was created with timbrels and tambourines as part of his design so that he could carry out his role in heaven, being the music minister or the worship leader. And so his official role was to use music as the guardian cherub. But we know that iniquity filled his heart because he became prideful. He was enamored with his own beauty. Well, again, thankfully, Lucifer is not the origin of music because we know music originated with Yahweh. And we see this in Zephaniah 3:17. Says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I absolutely love the idea that the Father is singing over us. But not only that, we see in scripture that he teaches his angels how to sing because he wants music to be part of his creative work in establishing the earth. And this is Job 38:4-7. It says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? So in this passage, we see that the morning stars sang together. Well, that implies that there was some sort of orchestration or ensemble of music among the heavenly beings. And this is music's original intent. It was meant to bring forth life, to create, and to bring forth beauty. But Lucifer introduced defilement in music, and it's been a battleground ever since. And we see that begin to unfold, especially when we look at the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. What the Babylonians did is they introduced music as a method of entrainment to lead the masses into idolatry. We see this in Daniel 3. This is verse 4-7. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, this is what you're commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you can see in this passage, you know, music had this hypnotic, mind-controlling effect on the Babylonian exiles. So the only ones that did not bow a knee to this golden image were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you know, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the reason they were able to withstand the entrainment is because they didn't open the door to mixture when they entered into Babylon. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, scripture talks about how they were men, you know, without physical defect. You know, they were handsome, they were quick to learn, they were well-informed, and they were qualified to serve in the king's palace. So they show up to Babylon with all these talents, and that affords them, you know, access to the finest of foods, you know, special treatment in the king's palace. But we know from scripture that Daniel approached the chief official and he asked if they could be kept on a pure diet of vegetable and water. Well, that's because these men, they walked in the fear of the Lord. You know, they were solely devoted to Yahweh. Their hearts were not divided. And this allowed them to walk in bold courage in the face of intimidation. And I think, you know, what we see is that they weren't interested in breaking covenant with the Lord just by dining on food that was dedicated to idols. So then when Nebuchadnezzar found out that, you know, Daniel or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would not bow a knee, he was enraged and he ordered them to appear before him. So here they come, you know, face to face with the most powerful ruler in the known world, and they stand their ground. You know, they could have sweet-talked their way out of trouble, but they didn't. They told Nebuchadnezzar point blank, we are not going to bow a knee to the golden image, even if it means being thrown into the fiery furnace. And that's because they trusted that God would rescue them. But even if he didn't, they were not going to defile themselves. And this is an image of what it looks like to be single-hearted in our devotion towards the Lord. You know, they had an audience of one, and that was the Lord. And this is how I believe we need to position ourselves in the weaponization of music so that we can be victorious in this battle of the seed war.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I thought we had a little technical glitch there. Okay. Are you with me?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. You locked up there on my screen for a moment there. I didn't know what happened. Okay. So, wow, that's, you know, you're breaking out scripture and I'm looking at it in a different way that I never looked at it before. Right off the bat, I thank you for that. So we got a seed war, obviously, that's unfolding. And of course, to really go in the full depth of all of this, it's going to take a longer program than we have time for. But with this seed war, what's the role of music within it? I mean, like starting all the way back at Genesis 3:15, if I'm not mistaken, you know, you bite my heel, I'm going to crush your head. How does that unfold in the modern day?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think maybe a good place for me to start with that is let me just give a quick overview of what the Nephilim agenda is, because I'm not sure how familiar your audience is with it. So essentially, it was unleashed during the days of Noah. And it's the plan to defile the human genome through the propagation of a hybrid race. And the purpose of that is to overthrow God's kingdom. And so to understand the seed war and the origins, or to understand the origins of the Nephilim agenda, we have to go back to the seed war. And just like you said, we find that in Genesis 3:14-15, which says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" So what we see is, you know, after the fall, Yahweh declared war between the seed of Eve, which is humanity, and the seed of Satan. One day Eve's seed would crush Satan, and we know this to be a prophetic declaration of the coming Messiah. So Satan's strategy then was to contaminate the seed of the woman by altering the genetic code of humans. And this is where the fallen sons of God, you know, they become integral in Satan's strategy. And what they do is they decide to rebel and leave their heavenly abode. They invade the earth realm by descending on Mount Hermon. Now, for those aren't familiar, it's called Mount Hermon as well, but it is located in a very strategic area. It's borders Syria, Lebanon, and Israel currently. Well, when these fallen sons of God descended on Mount Hermon, what they did is they began lusting after the daughters of men. And they, you know, they captured these women. They forced them into marriage. Then they sexually violated them by raping them, and they defiled their human genome by impregnating them with the hybrid race of giants known as the Nephilim. So the Nephilim are the seed of Satan. And we understand this, you know, both from Genesis 6, but also from the extra biblical text of the book of Enoch. Well, as I was writing and researching, I felt like, you know, given this ethereal nature of the Nephilim, I felt it was important to establish a proposed criteria for us to be able to discern the presence of Nephilim traits within individuals. And so what I do in both of my books is I have a list of physical traits and behavioral characteristics of the Nephilim and their giant offspring. Well, in order to do that, what I did is I performed this massive literature review. Essentially, I dug into ancient documents. You know, I looked at the works of Josephus that dates back to the first century AD. I looked at the history of Herodotus that dates back to 450 BC. And then even ancient Egyptian documents dating back to the 13th century BC, one called The Craft of the Scribe, also the Papyrus Anastasia the Sixth. And then I looked at extra biblical texts, you know, the Book of Enoch, Joshua, Jubilees, and then of course the biblical record. And all of that, I felt like the Lord was directing me to do that because we must not be deceived in thinking that the Nephilim only roamed the earth during the days of antiquity. There are Nephilim and Nephilim host alive today. Now, Nephilim host is a term that I coined in the roots of the Federal Reserve, and that represents a human who is partnered with the spiritual forces of darkness to carry out the Nephilim agenda. And these would be, you know, people who are, you know, the titans of global governance. These are the global elites over banking and industry, you know, academia, media, healthcare, big tech, big pharma, all of that. Well, one of the things we have to understand is that these Nephilim hosts, they are intent on destroying the followers of Jesus while enslaving the masses through control, domination, and intimidation. And that's because at the core of the Nephilim agenda is the goal to strip us of our humanity. They hate the fact that we are created in the image of God. So they want to defile our human genome. And really, this globalist agenda is the same as the Nephilim agenda. They're after the same end goal, and that is the total domination of humanity. So that's just kind of an overview of the seed war. Now, how music plays a role in that is they have weaponized music as a mechanism for mind control and programming. So sound frequencies have been used to create mass hysteria and herd behavior for almost a century now. If you look back into the 1930s, the Rothschild-Rockefeller Alliance, they began funding scientific studies examining how musical frequencies can prepare the masses for war. And then in 1938, there's this guy named Harold Burris Meyer, and he was a theatrical designer, but he also was a sound engineer. And he began developing techniques that would look at how he could control the emotional responses of audiences and create mass hysteria. And one of the things, as I was doing, you know, my own research, digging into different books, different articles, things like that, I came across Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and he has a book called The Book of 528 Hertz. Mm-hmm. And he writes this because he dove into the Rockefeller Foundation archives. And he says, it showed that their research is focused on psychotronic warfare, physiological stress induction, negative affective emotional arousal, mass persuasion, herd behavior, and population control. People's bodies would bioenergetically entrain to the musical frequencies and electronically engineered sound effects that would be most emotionally charged, causing people to act in certain programmable ways. And so it's no coincidence that, you know, as the Rothschild Rockefeller Alliance was figuring out ways to use sound technology to steer the masses, that the standard tuning of A was changed to 440 hertz. So in 1939, the same Rockefeller Rothschild Black Ops, they began funding Joseph Goebbels, who was the Nazi propagandist. And at that same time, Rockefeller, he was aligned with IG Farben, which was the German chemical and pharmaceutical giant. So together, they funded the buildup of Hitler's military. Well, at that same time, Joseph Goebbels, he wanted to change the standard tuning of A. And so he organized a conference to do that. And prior to that, you know, the standard tuning of A was set at 435. And that was as a result of a conference in Vienna in 1889. But Goebbels, like I said, he wanted to change the standard tuning of A to 440. And so Radio Berlin requested that the British Standard Association organize a conference in London to do just that. And this conference was a total setup. You know, the powers that be had control of the outcome. Now, first of all, they did not invite any of the French musicians who were largely opposed to 440 hertz. And then the organizers, what they did is they interviewed ahead of time, like all the instrument makers, the musicians, the sound engineers, and even the physicists. And they asked them what they thought of 440 hertz. And if they were opposed to it, they weren't invited to the conference. So it's no surprise as a result of this conference that the standard tuning of A was changed to 440 hertz. And that happened in June 1939, just months before World War II broke out. And Wow. The timing is no coincidence.
Wow.
And that's because, you know, 440 hertz is a destructive frequency. What it does is it retrains our thoughts, you know, towards disharmony, disunity, and disruption. And it trains our brain, or it stimulates our brain using this disharmonious resonance that ultimately can lead to disease and create war. And I'll share with you a few of the latest research on 440 hertz, just to demonstrate some of the destructive nature. And these, I have two studies. The first one was published in 2021, and this was in the Journal of Ecological Engineering. And so what researchers did is they looked at the impact of sublethal and lethal high-frequency sound exposure on water fleas. And they measured heart rate and they measured fertility while exposed to 440 versus 432 hertz. And what they found is that the water fleas exposed to 440 hertz developed infertility and a dramatic decrease in heart rate. And then even more alarming, within a few weeks of the study, all the water fleas exposed to 440 hertz died. Then another study, this one also in 2021, this was published in the International Journal of Human Sciences. And they found that people reported an increase in negative mood after listening to music tuned to 440 hertz versus 432 hertz. And that finding was particularly pronounced within men. So then if you kind of take a step back and we think about, you know, the big picture, part of this Nephilim agenda has a depopulation agenda with it. So what better way to depopulate than to render the masses both infertile and to stir up anger in the men that could lead to war? And so these studies demonstrate the destructive nature of 440 hertz. And Horowitz, he actually makes this interesting conclusion. He says, intensive research into the military and commercial value of compelling herd behavior with music to induce stress, promote diseases, and suppress spirituality has enabled the world's wealthiest people to exercise cultural control through programming. So not only have we been programmed with these harmful frequencies, but the frequencies that can actually benefit us, you know, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, those have been suppressed. But thankfully, you know, more and more people are awakening to the beauty of tuning A to 444 hertz.
Well, I'm one of them. I mean, you're knocking my socks off here, Dr. Laura. I mean, I'm something of a history buff, especially when it comes to occulted history regarding, you know, especially things like World War I and World War II. good night. I mean, you knocked my socks off when you're telling me, okay, 1939. I was already going there. I was like, hold on. This happened right before World War II, the most destructive war in history, unfolds. This happens. I mean, and then you just fast forward to the modern day. I mean, my brain is blowing up right now because, okay, I can make a pretty profound case with the work I do that, okay, they're poisoning our water. They're poisoning the air. I see it every single day in Western North Carolina, every single day. And I got to be honest, I'm a political atheist, but I will admit, and I've been saying it from the rooftops, that since Trump got into office, we haven't had a single day where they haven't sprayed. It's in our food over and over and over again. And now it's not even a trifecta anymore. Now it's been in our music forever and a day. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, I mean, like Steve Quayle always says, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you wind up dead. I mean, good night. I mean, it says something about the resilience of humankind. Right. The fact that they can be polluting us in so many different ways. And then you haven't even covered the idea of, and I'm sure you've already thought of this, but as you're saying this, I'm thinking, okay, well, if they're hitting us with the music, well, are they doing it through the TV sets? Are they doing it through the Wi-Fi? Are they doing it through our phones? I mean, as I'm looking at the work of Dr. Jack Cruz and all the others, we're finding out that there's a reason why I'm wearing these blue light blockers. I mean, they're killing us even with the lights coming off these screens. Anything that isn't coming from nature, it's anything that man has his hand on right now is, I mean, this is so pernicious and evil and diabolical. I mean, it truly is diabolical. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do we shield against this stuff? I mean, this is it for the average person out there hearing this. I probably didn't help things by pointing out what I just pointed out, but if they listen to this program, well, they've already heard it before, at least to a certain extent. Yeah. I mean, surely there's got to be an antidote for all this.
Well, I think, again, like understanding the beauty of making a shift to tuning A to 444 hertz, I think is really important. And, you know, one of the things that has been said, I think Dr. Leonard Horowitz says it in his book, but I've had multiple musicians confirm this. When you tune A to 444 hertz, not only is it acoustically more pleasing, but it actually kinesthetically, it stimulates us. You know, spiritually, it revitalizes us. And this is the frequency that scientists use to repair DNA. And that's because when you tune A to 444 hertz, four of the solfeggio tones come forth on your instruments. And so G is 396, G sharp is 417, C is 528 hertz, and then E flat is 639 hertz. Well, so why is that even important? Well, it's been said that the solfeggio tones have healing properties. And I'll focus specifically on 528 hertz. You know, it's been known to be called the miracle tone. And this is, you know, the frequency that scientists use to repair DNA. Well, more importantly, when Yahweh spoke creation into existence, 528 hertz was key in sustaining life. So the sun's frequency vibrates and harmonizes with 528 hertz. And then, you know, chlorophyll, that optimal energy transducer that absorbs the sun's frequency, translates it into oxygen for our bodies. That oxygen is said to vibrate at 528 hertz. And so 528 hertz is a life-giving frequency. Now, when A is tuned to 444 hertz, the music produced, they call 528 hertz music. And over the past decade, you know, there's been numerous research studies demonstrating the healing properties of 528 hertz music. And I'll share a couple of those studies. So in 2018, researchers studied the stress-reducing effects of listening to music tuned to 444 hertz, or what's called 528 hertz music. And so what they found is that 528 hertz music can significantly lower cortisol levels, which is what gets raised when we're stressed. It boosts oxytocin and it improves overall mood. Now, oxytocin is known as the love hormone. You know, this is what gets released when we give birth or when we breastfeed, when we fall in love, when we hug someone in an embrace. And researchers on this study, they said these results suggest that the influence of music on the autonomic nervous system and endocrine system varies depending on the frequency of the music. And furthermore, 528 hertz music has an especially strong stress-reducing effect. And then another study published last year, this was in RedVet, it demonstrated, again, the positive effects of 528 Hertz music. So what researchers did is they randomly selected 48 participants for either the experimental group or the control group. In the experimental group, what they did is they had them listen to 3 minutes of music tuned to 444. Or in the control group, they had a 3-minute neutral reading task. And what they found is that those in the experimental group, those that listened to the 528 Hertz music, they had significantly lower anxiety levels as compared to the control group. And this is really encouraging because what it means is just after 3 minutes of listening to 528 Hertz music, it can significantly reduce anxiety levels. Another really encouraging study, this one was in 2017, and this one was in the Journal of Addiction Research. Researchers say 528 Hertz, which is known as the miracle tone, is a sound wave that can cause significant and extraordinary changes in biological functions. It's been documented that the frequency of 528 Hertz activated DNA repair. At 528 Hertz frequency, the water molecules surround the DNA and support its six-sided hexagon DNA structure. According to these important effects, we suggest that this sound wave will give a key role in the function of the central nervous system. So then what they went on to test in their research is they looked at human cells that were exposed to ethanol, and that's a component in alcohol. And they found that they were less damaged by the ethanol if those cells were also exposed to 528 Hertz music, which means that for those that have damaged their bodies from alcoholism, they can actually begin to repair those cells by listening to 528 Hertz music. And so what this research demonstrates is, you know, obviously the healing properties of tuning A to 444 Hertz. But with all of that being said, one of the things that I feel like the Lord really has me focused on emphasizing, and that is we don't want to look for a formula for healing. And that's because, you know, tuning A to 444 Hertz is the first step in releasing the frequencies of heaven. We can think of it like a key that unlocks greater revelation that's only understood when we fully surrender to Jesus. So as soon as we begin to look for a formula, what happens is we can defile something that was once sacred. Because when we look to formulas, what we're doing is we're bypassing our dependency on hearing the voice of the Lord for strategy and for direction with healing. And this is, you know, you think about it, this is really, you know, the part of the human condition. It's the trap that Eve fell into. You know, when she ate of the forbidden fruit, she thought, you know, if I just eat this fruit, I'll become more wise and like God. Well, I think the trap with frequencies is we can believe that if we just listen to a certain frequency, we'll be healed. You know, we can look to the fruit as the source of wisdom, or we can look to the frequency as the source of healing. And as soon as we do that, we trap ourselves in a false healing matrix that's illuminated by false light. We have to remember that God is the source of our healing. Yes, he can use frequencies as a tool that can be used to bring healing, but he's the source of our healing. And thankfully, repentance will break us out of that false healing matrix. And that's so crucial because we don't want to be hoodwinked by the weaponization of frequencies. So we have to be aware that demons actually ride on frequencies through our technology, just like what you were saying earlier about, you know, our computers, our phones, you know, social media, all of that. And demons are attached to songs and sounds. And that's because music is used extensively to program because it bypasses our logic. And there's a musician, Shane Lynch of Boyzone, and he confirmed this. He had an interview back in 2023. And he said, I've been in rooms at the top of the top where albums are prayed over demonically. Mm-hmm. Music is prayed over demonically that goes out to the radio stations and to the public. When you see that stuff, it's frightening. And I think the interviewer had no idea he was going to say this. And so they said, what do you mean by prayed over demonically? Well, he says rituals, ceremonies, everything to give light to the devil, to Satan. It's a satanic music industry. Well, then, you know, as I was digging deeper into the weaponization of music and frequencies, I came across this band called Foremost Poets. And in 1999, they released a song called Moonraker. And I'm going to read some of the lyrics because it tells us exactly how the Nephilim agenda has weaponized music and frequencies. They say, somehow, while the party was in progress, an unidentified frequency has been existing in the system for some time. And while many of you have been made too brainwashed to comprehend, this frequency is and has become a threat to our society as we know it. This frequency has been used by a secret society in conjunction with Lucifer to lure and prey on innocent partygoers, with hypnotism, syncoprism, trichnology, lies, scandal, and pornography. While the party is still in progress, we will keep you updated on our current status. This is only a test. This station, in conjunction with other airwave announcements, will conduct this exact test without prejudice under the jurisprudence of the soul, the mind, the body, the positive, the negative, the ground, the proton, the neutron, the electron, the yin, the yang, the young, the sun, the moon, the stars, the man, the woman, the child, the plaintiff, the defendant, the judgment, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the past, the present, the future. I mean, that is disgusting. And we just say we do not consent. And one of the things that we have to realize is that our bodies absorb music and frequencies through every pore, not just through our ears. And so, you know, when you think about our lives are filled with an infinity of rhythms and vibrations down to even the subatomic level, through microwaves, through radio waves, through EMFs, all of that. And that's why we have to be mindful of what we're exposing ourselves to, you know, through music, through TV shows, through movies, even, you know, social media, even environmental aspects, like what you're saying, the chemtrails in the skies. Our bodies, what we allow our bodies to absorb will actually shape us. And so the information we take in can actually program us. And that's why I think it's so vital to guard our thoughts and to realize, okay, there are ways that we can break free from these harmful frequencies.
Good night. I mean, you talk about impossible to follow up. But I do, you know, as I'm hearing you talk about this, I'm brought back. I just want to take a little side note. As I'm hearing this, it makes me wonder. I'm thinking, it just jumped out at me. I was like, good night. Okay, so you have these self-edgio tones, which I didn't even know what that meant until I looked into your work and then found out, okay, wow, I didn't know these existed. And when I find out how insidious this whole thing is back starting from 1939 in the modern era, good night. I mean, all of us is inundated with that, with every bit of this. Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't help but think, you know what? I wonder what David's harp was tuned to. I wonder what, or like the horn of Joshua. I mean, was it a dissonant tone? I mean, it brought down the walls of Jericho. I mean, whatever David had in that harp, I mean, maybe it was 528. I don't know. Maybe, obviously, it had to be something that was a healing tone. But I'm also thinking on the flip side of that, wow, was, you know, was there something special in Joshua's horn? You know, I mean, was it dissonant? I don't know. I mean, now I got a whole series. Thanks a lot for all the homework, doctor. Yeah, but I'm thinking about the yin and yang. And as far as all that's concerned, man, was his dissonant? Was decent? Was King David's more consonant? I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious. Well, if everybody knows King David was using, I'd like to know. So,
Right. And I think that that's an example of releasing the sounds of heaven into the earth realm. So I believe what Joshua did when they blew those trumpets, they were releasing the sounds of heaven because God was the conductor of their orchestra. He told them, you know, when to march, when to shout, when to blow the trumpets. And when they did, it brought those walls down. And same thing with David. You know, this really highlights one of the things that I think is so important to focus on with how do we how do we come against these harmful frequencies? David had a heart of worship. And we know that when we release worship in spirit and in truth, it cancels out the harmful frequencies. And so, you know, one of the things that I think also that can be so encouraging is when we think about epigenetics as an example, it plays an important role in actually allowing us to break free from these harmful frequencies. And so, you know, when you think about epigenetics, essentially it is, you know, the impact our thoughts, our behaviors, and our lifestyle choices have on our body, soul, and spirit, even future generations. And so that prefix epi means on top of. So epigenetics is a set of instructions, you know, that sits on top of the genome. Well, I love Dr. Carolyn Leaf's book. She wrote a book called Switch on Your Brain. And listen to what she says about the impact of epigenetics and neuroplasticity. She says, the scientific power of our mind to change the brain is called epigenetics. And spiritually, it is as a man thinks, so is he. The way the brain changes as a result of mental activity is scientifically called neuroplasticity. And spiritually, it's the renewing of the mind. The science of epigenetics, which is tangible scientific proof of how important our choices are, they bring life or death, blessing or cursing, and they reach beyond us to influence the next generations. This is because choices become signals that change our brain and body. So these changes are not dictated by our genes. Our thinking and subsequent choices become the signal switches of our genes. What's incredible is that genes are dormant until switched on by a signal. They have the potential, but they have to be activated to release that potential. So your choices might impact the generations that follow, for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Well, what this does is this ties into the power of our words, especially when releasing blessing or cursing. So we literally can cause ourselves to develop sickness and disease when we curse ourselves or we come into agreement with those that curse us. And Jesus has been really challenging me on this in the last several years. So, and if I am experiencing, for example, symptoms of a head cold, I will no longer say I am sick. I will say I am fighting sickness or I'm overcoming sickness, because I don't want to claim sickness, disease, or debilitation as part of my being. And so often I hear people say, like, my allergies, my arthritis, my migraines, my tumor, my cancer. Well, when they do that, they are cursing themselves because mm-hmm. they're claiming that as part of their being. And when you consider, you know, that up to 60 to 70% of our bodies are made up of water, it makes sense that sound and words and frequencies impact us so much. In fact, blessing and curses emit a certain frequency. So when a curse is released, it emits this dissonant sound that alters matter, even down to the subatomic matter. And we see this in Masaru Emoto's research. He's the one that did the research on the water molecules. So when he wrote, you know, on strips of paper, words, and he taped them to the water bottles, what he did is he then measured the crystallized form of the water molecule under a microscope. And he discovered that the water molecule changed based on the message that it received. So if the phrase was something like love or gratitude, it formed this beautifully perfect water crystal. But if it was something like you fool or hatred, you know, it formed this ugly, chaotic water crystal. Well, what's interesting is we know water can't read, but the vibrations coming from those written words altered the structure of the water molecule. And this demonstrates the blessing of, you know, that blessings are life-giving. You know, what they do is they have the power to heal and to bring forth life. Well, curses have the power to destroy. So then if we think about, okay, so these water molecules were changed so definitively just by words. Imagine what lyrics in songs do to our bodies. But then think about what happens when we read the word of God over our bodies. Just like you said, you declared Psalm 91 over your wife when she was struggling with some of those harmful frequencies. And I love Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So while the enemy is trying to weaponize music, we know that Jesus is our living hope, and he always provides us with a pathway out of enslavement. And so he knows how to combat the Nephilim agenda. And so I believe the Lord wants to release these new sounds in the earth realm that will slay the giants, you know, that will release healing, that will set the captives free. And, you know, this generation has been hoodwinked by this Nephilim agenda, and certainly music tuned to 440 has played a massive role in that. And so really a shift into tuning A to 444 hertz is the first step in releasing, I think, more strategies for healing that the Lord wants to bring.
Well, because of that, from your word alone, and examining some of this stuff for myself, certainly not to the extent that you have, I went out there, and as I was going through the worst of this, I was thinking, okay, good night, man. Where do I even start? And then I'm so busy being a farmer and all the stuff that I do that I don't even really have time to listen to music. But I did go back and look at my music library. And although most people would look at it and think, okay, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with this music. Well, I examined it again under different light. And then all of a sudden I said, you know what? When I do listen to music, here's one of the strategies I brought to bear. And maybe you'll tell me whether or not it was good or not. I found that there was an audio Bible app, and I love the one written or narrated by Max McLean. And he does the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I overlaid it with, I ended up going to, what was it? There was a gentleman you spoke of before doing a harp.
Steve Breeze.
Right. So I took his music and I had my sound engineer overlay the Old Testament narrated by Max McLean with his music, and I put it together. And then I'd had him do it again, this time with Whole Tones. There was another place called Whole Tones. The guy's now passed on. His name was Michael Terrell, and he did it. He had his beautiful music, but it was all classical music, and it was everything from 528 to 444, you name it. And he had different songs, so I had him do it again. And I was like, okay. I mean, my engineer, it cost me a fortune, but anyway, I went ahead and did it. And I said, okay. I took that music, I went out there, and I remember being attacked as I was doing the weed. I was out doing the weed eater. And if I'm wearing a weed eater, I got something covering my ears, you know, obviously to protect my ears. I played that music, Old Testament read, at the same time while these solfeggio tones were being played through it, and happy as a clam the entire time. And at the same time, it was also helping me memorize. Because I'm thinking, okay, if I want to memorize all of Psalm, well, this is a good way to go about doing it. And so I started taking what I learned from you, overlaid it with these, and I was like, man, this is a winner. I can't believe somebody hasn't done this already. Or maybe you have, and I'm just late to the game, but that was one of the solutions I did. So I was wondering, you know, what would you recommend for people out there who, you know, may not, and I can't help but wonder, based on what you just told me, how many Christian radio stations are people tuning into? And these are also tuned to 440 or some other dissonant tone that we don't know about. I don't know. But listening to that harp music and listening to Whole Tones and overlaying it with the Bible has been an antidote that I was like, that's when I reached out to you. I was like, man, I got to tell her what I'm doing with this stuff. So it's working
that's
like a champ
for me. Fantastic. I love that. I have not tried that, but that is such a fantastic idea. There are a growing number of Christian musicians and worship leaders that are tuning A to 444 hertz. And so I have a list of them on my website. If people want to go there, they can do that. Also, I would say this, because, again, worshiping in spirit and in truth can cancel out harmful frequencies. So there are still amazing worship leaders, amazing Christian musician artists that have such a pure heart. They just haven't shifted out of 440. And so I listen to not only those that have shifted into 444, but I know a handful of musicians personally, and I know their hearts. And so I will listen to their music as well, because I know that they are single-hearted in their devotion to the Lord, and they haven't allowed a lot of the mixture of industry into their music. So those are people that I listen to as well.
Well, Dr. Laura, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left with you. Please tell, because I think at this point I've been researching you for some time and you're blowing me away in this one. So I realized I got to go back to the drawing board. I still got some class. I'm missing a few classes out here, clearly. And obviously I got to get your books. But how can folks get a hold of you or listen to more of what you're, folks are hearing her talk about the healing tones and some of the dissonant stuff and all that, but she actually has covered a wide array of topics and has researched these things up one side and down the other. What are some of the other things that people could learn from you, and where do they go about doing that?
Well, the best place is my website to start there, which is called nolongerenslaved.com. And I have articles. I used to do them monthly, but I don't do them quite so frequent anymore. But people can sign up for my articles. They're completely free. I write about, just like you said, a vast array of topics, from the Federal Reserve or monetary policy to the hive mind, AI, transhumanism, transgenderism, all sorts of things in between. And then I also have, my books are available on Amazon. I narrated both books, so they're available on Audible if people prefer those. Also, I have a YouTube channel called No Longer Enslaved, and I have, 49 episodes now on various topics. And then if people want to follow me on Instagram and Telegram, I'm Laura Sanger 444 Hertz.
Oh, how awesome is that? Well, doctor, since we have a couple of minutes left, I got to ask you, I know I'm catching you a little bit flat-footed here, but you said something and I'm going to kick myself if I don't ask you this. You mentioned earlier that there were traits that were specifically Nephilim. Would you mind throwing a few of those at us? Because honestly, every single time, not every single time, but this may sound wacky to a lot of folks out there, but every single time I do a speaking engagement, there's always two witches in the crowd, always two. And they're putting a hex on a brother from the back of the room. And it didn't matter whether it was in Asheville, which is about 30 minutes away from me, or it didn't matter whether I was out in small town Kansas. I'm speaking, and these people are like blown up, straight up witches hexing me. And it'll put this until it only happens when I'm not prayed up from the feet up, if you know what I mean. If I don't have on the full armor, or I'm in a rush, or I don't take the time to put on that armor, they're going to get me and they're there almost every single time. But I got to ask you, what are these traits that you're talking about? If you can't answer, I totally understand if you're saying, hey, go read the book, which I intend to do. I get that too. But maybe you could throw a couple of them at us.
Sure. I definitely can mention a couple of them. So I identified 5 physical traits and 19 behavioral characteristics. And so some of the physical traits would be extraordinarily tall, extraordinarily strong, polydactyly, which is having, six fingers and toes, and then also altered genome, red hair. Now, I always have to give a caveat for red hair, because I'm not suggesting that everyone with red hair has Nephilim genes or a Nephilim host. But as I poured through, the literature and the research and through history, I kept finding that red hair was associated with Nephilim traits, whether that be, in the Edomites, the elongated skulls of Paracas, Peru, the Tarim Basin mummies in China, the red-haired cannibals that terrorized the Paiute tribe in Nevada. It really became clear that red hair can be associated with Nephilim traits. Some of the behavioral characteristics, certainly the dishonest trade, business transactions, a propensity towards corruption, an obsession with blood occult rituals, engaging in death rituals, bestiality, cannibalism, trafficker of humans, those types of things.
Well, I'll certainly be on the lookout. I don't know if I can get to put a questionnaire out next time I go speak somewhere and find out, okay, mark these off. Maybe I need to start doing that every time I go out, because they're always waiting on me. And every time I put on that full armor, it's like, oh, yep, can't be here. So I'll make sure I you know, stay prayed up from the feet up. Well, Dr. Laura, it's been such a joy to have you on, and all you did was just open up my brain to want to examine this stuff even more. I can't thank you enough for what you've already done for me, because it was your work that brought me to say, you know what, let me think about what I'm thinking about. Let me think about what I'm listening to. Let me think about all these other things. And you've been a tremendous blessing in my life and that of my wife and my family. I mean, in ways that I can't thank you enough for it. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Well, I thank you for coming here. Hey, y'all, go check her out, Dr. Laura. And hey, look, she didn't disappoint, y'all. And I told you she was going to blow your mind, and she did. All right, y'all, until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to the harmony begins in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive, tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.